This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome.
Talking to someone very close to Elon Musk, and this is in the first Trump administration, and they said, no, they're really going to launch the Mars mission from the dark side of the moon, so it can't be looked at by a lot of our enemies, but also it's a better launch point, and also it's protecting the craft facilities from solar radiation. And they've already got 3D printers up there. They've already got a base up there with the secret space program. And that when Trump wins re-election, they're going to announce it and do it. You notice Musk suddenly said, now we're not launching from the Earth. We're launching from the dark side of the moon a month ago.
Exactly. Well, that's 6-7 years ahead. That's the kind of intel. This is part of the problem, which is we're getting the intel much, much later. And there's this gap in time. So we talk about things like the release of the UFO file. This is scheduled.
8 brilliant minds, each one inching closer to unlocking zero-point energy, plasma fusion that could render fossil fuels obsolete, or the anti-gravity secrets allegedly reverse-engineered from crashed non-human craft, have met mysterious ends or vanished without a trace. Their deaths and disappearances clustering in recent months amid rising whispers of massive revelations.
I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this, if they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up, you'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to. But, you know, it's never going to get, unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up. And the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal and I don't take risks.
This is why Congress is working hard for whistleblower protections, because we want people to feel safe to come out and have a conversation. And right now they don't feel overly safe. They've seen some of the tactics and techniques that were applied to try to keep people quiet in the past. Let me say this in general terms. People say, oh, well, the government would never kill anybody to protect a secret. Try going to Area 51 and look at the signs on that chain link fence where it says lethal force authorized. You cross that fence and they can kill you dead. Okay? So the government can, under certain extreme cases, under certain extreme situations and conditions, they can do whatever they need to do to protect national security, and they will.
But I was standing behind an alien in a spacecraft, just a small one. Okay, I ask you a question? And he said, okay. And I said, how do you get from here to Alpha Centauri? We can't do that. The only thing that we think about is I have to go really fast for a really long time. Can you use what information I have in my head and try to explain it to me? And he said, well, do you know what a Rubik's Cube is? And I said, oh yeah, my son can do them in 2 minutes. He says, okay, so imagine a Rubik's Cube, but not necessarily just the six sides. Just imagine the concept of a Rubik's Cube. And I said, okay. Now imagine on each one of the tiles on the Rubik's Cube has a chart of the elements. And he says, so what you do to get to Alpha Centauri is you just twist the cube. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I told you wouldn't understand. And he said, when the periodic table occurs in a different place, you're at that place. And that's just a very crude explanation. But you have to stop thinking about go that way for a long time, very fast.
Describe the very first time you were teleported.
It's scary in a way. I mean, you know, you don't really know, okay, is this evil? Is this good? What is this? Is, you know, what do I do with this? How do I deal with it? I was on the phone. Oh my God, what's happening? And I was landed. And landed about 40 miles away in a ditch outside of a Baptist church in a little tiny town just where you cross over the border. And it was an incredibly frightening moment.
I want to want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it. Ultra methylene blue. I just can't shut up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning, the 6th of April, 2026. We have a weekend worth of news to go over, of course, most of it having to do with Iran. But actually, we'll be joined in the second hour by a very special guest. You may know him as Danks. And we'll be talking about Salem Media and basically the takeover of Christian conservative media by Zionist Israelis who are weaponizing our nationalism, patriotism, and Christianity against us. I'm very excited to talk to him in the second hour. I'll take your calls in the third hour, and we'll go over everything that happened over the weekend and see if we can't try to get to the truth through the lies, because everybody's lying on every side. And we'll try to be the only ones out here just genuinely giving you the God's honest truth on these matters. Headline today on the show about Trump having dementia. That's what's being discussed, whether he is or isn't. The fact is he is now all but openly threatening to use nuclear weapons against Iran out of sheer frustration. And you got to understand how, again, just unprecedented and ridiculous this is. There were times in the Korean War that tactical nukes were talked about being used on the field, since the nuclear weapon, the nuclear bomb, was still a fairly new thing in the 1950s. And they were, you know, trying to figure out ways to employ it other than just wiping out entire cities. Could it be used on the battlefield to take out battalions? There's actually incredible footage of Americans testing this type of stuff using howitzers or some sort of mortar launching device to launch miniaturized nukes on the battlefield. Some pretty crazy footage. They found out that it was not the most usable thing, considering the fact that even if you take out an enemy position, there's radioactive waste that makes it impossible to then take that position yourself for a long time, amongst other, you know, problems with the technology. Even in the Vietnam War, when our country was being torn asunder by the outrages going on there and things were going very badly and it looked very bad for us, still never used a nuclear weapon. The idea that he wants to use one now, the only time that we've used nuclear weapons, and I've said it before, it's almost a miraculous way that nuclear weapons were deployed, because I don't know if you believe in the science and just trust the way things, you know, historically have come about in the official story, then basically it's an inevitable conclusion. Eventually, humanity would in some way develop to the point that they could harness nuclear technology to create weapons. Could have been gone very differently if another group of people with, you know, other ideas got the weapon first. It almost worked out perfectly, where you had this war that went on for years. Obviously, World War II, just absolutely devastating. Millions upon millions of people dead. The type of conflict that would justify the use of such a weapon, especially with Japan being utterly intractable, this iron nation, island nation that had basically programmed all of its people to believe that death was preferable to surrender. You know, they needed a real slap across the face to, you know, get a reality check across them. So the fact that we created these bombs, deployed them twice, but essentially in one instance to end the war. And again, you know, you can debate. We can debate whether it was necessary, whether the war could come to an end regardless, whether America should have just accepted Japan's surrender with conditions rather than push for an unconditional surrender. I get that there's, you know, historical nuance in all of this. But the fact is, we used the bomb essentially once, proved its effectiveness, proved what it could do, and then have not had to use it since. That's almost a miracle in the sense that you can imagine if another country got this, another group of people got this. I mean, what if the communists had gotten it first? What would the Cold War have looked like in that case? Because, you know, there was a time period, probably about a decade or so, maybe a little less, in which America was the only one with the bomb. We were essentially the empire with the Death Star and could have, if we so choose, and again, there's some debate about this, we could have like just kept going. We could have just gone, all right, well, we're the ones with the bomb now, so I guess we're in charge forever. And if anybody tries to oppose us, then we nuclear bomb them. They will never get the nuke because we'll nuclear bomb them if they ever try. And we'll just have a, you know, nation-destroying super weapon and be the uncontested leaders of the world forever. Like, that could have been a possibility if we'd chosen to go that route. We could have eliminated our geopolitical adversary, the communists, who were the only ones on the cusp of having a nuclear weapon. Of course, Israel stole a nuclear weapon from us, so maybe it was inevitable that it gets out. But the point is that it was almost a miracle that this happened in this way, that yes, it was used, so it's not questionable. It's not like, you know, they say theoretically they have this bomb. Like, no, we have it. We used it. It was devastating, and now we've never had to use it again. And if Trump were to use it this time, just think about the difference between World War II with, again, just intractable enemies, suicidal nations to a certain degree, devastating war for years on end, engulfing the entire world on every continent, more or less, except, well, especially Antarctica, if you read certain histories. And it was like at the final hour, just to close it out, to end it all, to finally just once and for all go, we're done playing footsie with you people. Time for the knockout blow. And it's like, you can understand historically how humanity had been pushed to that point, that they found that acceptable and found the situation they were in impossible without it. That's not the situation here by a long shot. Essentially, what's happening here is Trump is being faced with the choice of be embarrassed that you were wrong, take a big old hit on the chin from America's enemies for the utter inadequacy and incompetence of the current war being waged, or use a nuclear bomb. So again, I just want to lay this out. People like to say, you know, well, we did it during, you know, we did it to Japan. Are you saying that was wrong? Like, kind of in a way, I'm not the most in favor of that happening, especially the areas it was targeted, specifically the most Catholic city in all of Japan. Again, there's a lot of sort of religious symbolism around the timing and placement of the bombs, the nuclear bombs to Japan. But it's such a wildly different comparison, like such an inaccurate comparison between this global, impossible, deadly conflict for years on end versus 1 month of frustration because Trump listened to liars and is now embarrassed that it's not going well. That's the worst reason I've ever heard for using a nuclear weapon. That's not even remotely justifiable. So we'll get into everything Trump has said today. He's been, you know, I guess, wandering around giving interviews to people in the White House. But he's not Joe Biden. However, the Easter Bunny does make an appearance. Now, if you're an old InfoWars fan, you'll know during American Journal, probably our favorite clip to play of Joe Biden was him being ordered around by the Easter Bunny, because in a way it just symbolized everything about Joe Biden and America at the time, that this decrepit old weirdo was desperately trying to get contact with children, and you had the literal Easter Bunny pulling him away and ordering, you know, issuing directives to him, and he's literally taking orders from the Easter Bunny. And it's just like, yeah, we live in a Monty Python skit. We live in some sort of real world version of South Park where the president of the United States, that was it. That's it. We pull it back up. That's the exact video. Joe Biden trying to figure out what the hell's going on around him, and the Easter Bunny, sir, you're supposed to go over here, sir.
He's like, oh, people, I think I'll get distracted again. Easter Bunny is like, sir, this is the Easter Bunny speaking. You must go to the podium now. What a confusing and horrifying time that must have been for the poor old man. I think I feel sorry for him now. Now we've got Trump standing next to the Easter Bunny on the balcony of the White House and basically giving like a war speech. He's talking about blowing people to smithereens and fighting, you know, the enemies of God. And there's just like a happy little Easter Bunny sitting right there. Like, okay, it's not quite the Biden level, but something has gone wrong here. Once again, why is the Easter Bunny making an appearance in these geopolitically important moments? I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, but it does feel like a South Park episode, kind of. So I don't think he's like, you know, Biden level, where he's literally getting lost in his own backyard, actually incapable of stringing a string of words together. Like, say what you want about Trump, he still knows how to put on a show. He still knows how to keep together in front of the cameras. He's not the embarrassing mess he is. Joe Biden was. But if he's going to use a nuke, that in and of itself is like evidence of his insanity. And again, you know, we get to some Donnie Darko madness going on around here. Bomb Iran, Donnie. Don't you want to bomb Iran? My God. Find the South Park episode about the Easter Bunny. I mean, this thing may go all the way up to the Vatican. We don't know. We just don't know. So it's like things are insane. I don't think Trump is necessarily the insane one in all of this, but he is saying insane things. He is saying things that represent a break from reality, and it's extremely dangerous. And again, you know, there was a skit, maybe this week, maybe last week, on Saturday Night Live. There's a skit, and basically the premise, the conceit of the skit is it's the Republican Trump-supporting mom having to admit to her liberal children that she no longer support Trump. And of course, the whole thing is, you know, Trump is kind of a madman. The kid's like, we told you, we knew. And she's like, okay, let me finish. And it's fine. Like, it's kind of funny. But the thing is, they're still wrong about all of that stuff. Like, they're still on the wrong side. Going back in time, it's not like retroactively they were suddenly on the right side of things. They weren't. They absolutely weren't. But it's in this weird kind of situation where previously, as of, you know, 2020, in January of 2020, and even before that, you had people like Nancy Pelosi working together with Milley, right? Milley, General Milley, I think it was, to basically deny Trump his right as the president to dictate war policy, and basically saying we have usurped him. We have decided that we are more responsible than the American people to choose their president, and we have taken the nuclear football away from him. Like, they admitted that. That's treason on the outset. You can't just do that. You can't just say this is a sovereign right, you know, given to you by the electoral process, but actually we think we deserve it more, and then just take it by force. That's literal treason. That should have been charged. They should have been charged with treason, literally. General Milley, you know, knowing that Trump was trying to sort of wage a diplomatic, sort of hardline aggressive campaign against China, and then contacting China and saying, don't worry about all this bluster. If anything's actually going to happen, I will tell you before it does. You don't need to worry about a surprise from Trump. Again, treason. I consider that treason. Now, I might have a different view, because now we're in war with Iran that was totally unnecessary, totally at the behest and for the sake of Israel, that is going very badly, that is destroying the world's economy. Like, this is a completely different situation. Already, it's gone terribly, and now Trump is trying to correct his own mistake by using a nuclear weapon against a civilian population. Like, okay, now we're in the realm of the 25th Amendment. Now in the realm of using the appropriate measures there in place of a situation like this to legally and lawfully and publicly out in the open, so everybody knows exactly what's happening, maybe remove the nuclear football from Trump. I think we're sort of at that crossroads. Doesn't mean that they were right back then. They were wrong back then. In fact, one of the reasons why it's important to sort of double down and make this argument. Ann Coulter put brilliantly today on X. She says, I really wish, quote unquote, legal experts hadn't screamed bloody murder about every little thing Trump ever did. So now they could speak with authority now that he's actually committing war crimes. Wouldn't that be something? It is a very evident boy who cried wolf situation where for 4 years under Trump and then the 4 years under Biden, we heard endless hyperventilating about Donald Trump. He was a madman. He's starting World War III. And it'd be like, by what? Asking Ukraine to look into corruption? Like, what the hell are you talking about? He's starting World War III because he, I don't know, wants NATO to pay their fair share. Like, endless hysterics is really what got us into this problem in the first place. Because now, Trump, and I'll show you the clips, when he's told directly, this is unpopular, this is different than it was before, he's like, I've heard this my whole career. He's sitting there going, for my entire time as a politician, people have told me what I'm doing is incredibly unpopular, but I win elections. They've told me what I'm doing is dangerous and you know, fatal, and then I win and it succeeds. So for 8 years, he was told lies about the popularity of his policies, the actual effectiveness of them. Now, at a time when we would actually need some appropriate, responsible reporting, it sounds the same as it has for the last 10 years, and no one pays attention to it. So this is your fault. So this is the left's fault, actually, at the end of the day, I hate to tell you. This is the establishment Republicans' fault, again, for crying bloody murder every time Trump did something reasonable and normal and correct when it comes to national security. Now that he's not acting in a way commiserate with national security, it would have been really nice to have like responsible, thoughtful people in that position, which again is another reason why I think it bears more weight when somebody like Alex Jones, or even myself, I would say, I've been a little bit less, lenient on Trump for the last couple of years, but I still have been a diehard Trump supporter. I never abandoned him for Ron DeSantis. I never, claimed it was over and he was lost after January 6th. I even understood why he would do something like Operation Warp Speed, which again, if you go back in time and watch the American Journal from 2020, we were reporting at the time the vaccine is poison before it had ever come out, right? We were telling people, look, the vaccine is poison. It's not good, but the plan of the elite was originally to have the world locked down, the world economy locked down to the point of starvation, to the point where it like could not recover. And the main strategy in that was convincing the people themselves to refuse to go back to work until they had a vaccine. So it wasn't even up to Trump. Trump could have said the lockdown's lifted, and he did like a ton of times going, the lockdown's lifted, you don't need to be scared, you got to get back to work. And the people themselves refused, because they had been propagandized by the media and the medical establishment, you should not go back to work until you get a vaccine. So that's what they were demanding. So in order to stop the economic destruction that would have led to rolling blackouts and starvation across the world and a total collapse of the global economy, Trump forced them to release the vaccine earlier. It was the same vaccine. Nothing about Operation Warp Speed changed the quality of the vaccine or what was in the vaccine. It only accelerated the schedule of deployment of the vaccine. They wanted to hold on to the vaccine, let the world economy crash, put Biden in, then release the vaccine, credit Biden with the recovery while still knowing that the economy was in such a state that it would never get fully back on its feet and would necessitate even more, money injection than already was necessitated by the lockdowns they forced on Trump anyway. So again, it's like during 2020, we understood why Trump was doing something that in a perfect world, we wouldn't have wanted him to do. Because we're not in a perfect world. We're in a world with human beings, many of whom believe the lies of the media and would willingly sit at home while the economy was collapsed around them, waiting for the vaccine. And the pharmaceutical companies knew, we have this vaccine, it's ready to go. We could deploy it now, but we're going to wait a couple months until the economy gets that much worse, Biden gets into office, and then we'll release it. They wanted to release it on a political schedule. Trump forced them to accelerate that. Again, he didn't change the vaccine. It's not like the vaccine's bad because of Operation Warp Speed. The vaccine was deployed. Anyway, all of this is to say they can go back in time. And again, people go, you should have known in Operation Warp Speed. No, we watched in real time as Operation Warp Speed was deployed, and we knew exactly why he was doing it, even though it appeared as though, you know, he was, you know, totally in favor of the vaccine and actually believed it. The reality was he wanted people back to work and people demanded the vaccine, and he was trying to stop the deliberate collapse of the world economy that they are now achieving through him with the war in Iran. And the ultimate, you know, upshot of the war in Iran at this point being devastating economic effects for Australia, many of our allies in Europe, and of course, the respectability and power of America on the world stage. And now he's saying we're doing this for the gays. We're doing it for the gays. We have to free the gays in Iran, and they want us to. And yeah, you know, they might die, but to them, that's better than having to secretly be gay, I guess. You want to watch that? Let's go to clip 27 here. It's President Trump talking. This is the right one, right? Talking about why we have to go to war with Iran. This is just one of many things he said today. Let's watch.
They don't tell you the real facts. Women, men, gays. How about gays for Iran? They kill the gays. They throw them off buildings. So I wonder what's going on. I can only say this. They want us to keep bombing, even if it jeopardized, because their life is in much greater danger. They want freedom for Iran, but it's very hard for them to protest. I actually tell them, I said, don't go out. I fully understand. Nobody in this room would go out. I don't think there's any, because frankly, it's not a question of bravery. We're all brave, right? You're brave, I'm brave, we're all brave. But we're also intelligent. If you have people shooting at you, expert shots with the best rifles you can get, and hitting you right between the eyes every single time, and you're looking here and you're seeing and you're looking here, you're out of there. I don't care who.
So I know this is a common refrain. I didn't know how true it was. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people in Iran face severe challenges not experienced by non-LGBTQ residents. Sexual activity between members of the same sex is illegal and can be punishable by death. Contrastingly, people can legally challenge their sex at birth, though only through sex reassignment surgery, which is very interesting. Transgender identity is recognized through sex assignment surgery. Sex reassignment surgeries are partially financed and supported by the state. Some homosexual individuals in Iran have been pressured to undergo sex reassignment surgeries in order to avoid legal and social persecution for being gay. So maybe they're onto something here. I don't know. That is interesting. I don't think they throw them off buildings, though. I think that might be one of our allies. I think that might be one of our allies in the region, actually. Because you understand, it doesn't matter what they say about Iran. Anything you say about Iran being religious extremists applies even more to our dedicated allies in the region like Saudi Arabia. So this whole thing is ridiculous, but I guess just add it to the pile. It's about the nuclear weapons. We're freeing the people of Iran. Actually, we're killing the people of Iran. It's not regime change, but we are changing the regime. And actually, at the end of all of it, this is all for the sake of the gays. We're doing it all so that gay people can once and for all ruin pop culture in Iran. Finally, they'll be able to take over the classic Iranian, you know, intellectual properties. The classic, I don't know, whatever Iran's version of Star Wars is. Finally, after this war, we'll drop a nuke on them, and then, once and for all, the Luke Skywalker version, whatever Iran's version of that is, can finally be a gay man, and the world will be safe.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support, and you're being part of this operation, and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, and look at these two new amazing lines.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. I've given this to 500 people. Only 3 people didn't feel it right away. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
Personally, I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. I was telling you, I've had a little bit of a cold for the past few days, under-rested. It felt like my brain was working at 50% capacity, just felt slow. And now, what's it been, a half hour or so, it feels like I'm back up to 80%. So yeah, that's my experience. Feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them.
You, and be honest, I know you will be, because we're always trying to find a better methylene blue. If you've got one that's better, you said you've taken it before. Did you feel the same thing with the other methylene blue?
No, with other ones I've tried, I didn't have a perceptible difference. Yeah, didn't notice anything.
Well, I got to tell you, Bigly, I said, go find me the best. They said, this place doesn't sell it to people. They sell it for medical dyes for arteries instead of like iodine, radioactive iodine. They use this for tracking blood clots or something. And I said, okay, great. So you got to deal with them? I said, well, let me get it. And I'd taken a bunch of different brands before. It didn't really do much. I was like, when I did it. And I was like, so they hit a home run with this. So you're saying you've taken, we didn't talk about this beforehand. We just asked you. You've taken others before, though, did not feel like this.
Yeah, that's true. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it.
Yeah, my understanding, you mentioned this, methylene blues, they're not all created equal. Some, I believe, are like a fish aquarium grade,
yeah.
But they sell it to humans. So what you found, I'm stoked to really...
Look, I love Bigly. Their rule is go out and get the best. Most of our products are private label. It's already top rated. So I said, get the best methylene blue. So I think we've got the best. JP's here didn't even know this backstory that you all know. You just saw what just happened to him. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's talk about what happened over the weekend in Iran. You know what? I never did I? I never started the day like we normally start the day. Let's do that now. Better late than never. Here it is, folks. Your daily dispatch. You can hear it. Screw up the crew back there. Throwing them for a loop. Here it is, folks. Your daily dispatch for Monday, the 6th of April, 2026. Trump says Iran could be taken out Tuesday night, but cites efforts to negotiate. U.S. President Trump says Iran could be taken out in one night. At an 83-minute press conference, he says the U.S. has an active, willing partner to negotiations. Trump reiterates deadline, warns of Iran energy infrastructure ruin. He's extended the deadline from Monday to 8 p.m. Tuesday, midnight, GMT. Iran and the U.S. received a plan on Monday for immediate ceasefire. U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth says Monday will bring the largest volume of strikes. Iran says it wants an end to a war, not a temporary ceasefire. So again, we'll get into that and we'll show you sort of the contradictory statements from both American and Iranian sources about what has gone on there over the weekend and where the war is headed. Meanwhile, Iran has apparently rejected the ceasefire plan from Infowars.com. Iran has apparently rejected a plan for temporary ceasefire to allow the Strait of Hormuz to be opened. An unnamed Iranian official spoke to Reuters and said the country's leadership is now considering a last-ditch plan submitted by Pakistan to prevent an escalation of hostilities. The Independent reports Tehran does not believe that Washington is ready for a permanent ceasefire, however, and will not accept being pressured to accept deadlines and make a decision, the unnamed source says. In a post on Truth Social on Saturday, President Trump said the clock is ticking on his 10-day period for negotiation. Quote, remember when I gave Iran 10 days to make a deal or open up the Hormuz Strait, he posted. Time is running out, 48 hours before all hell will rain down on them. Glory be to God. On Saturday, explosions were reported at a major petrochemical facility in Iran, with Israel claiming responsibility for them. Israel's leadership is reported to have instructed the IDF to begin targeting economic targets in Iran in a bid to cause massive financial damage to the regime. So, yes, we are now just openly pursuing terrorism by targeting civilian infrastructure in order to degrade their, you know, economic well-being, something that is completely out of whack with any sort of military desire or design or ultimate goal for this operation, literally just hurting civilians and hurting the economy like a terrorist, which is just crazy if you don't understand that the ultimate goal is to literally degrade Iran to a non-functioning state so that it can be a playground for warfare forever. Meanwhile, the drive towards World War III is ever increasing in speed and intensity. Germany quietly introduced a law that prevents fighting age men leaving country without approval, which is just crazy. Practically, you know, East German style. The German government quietly passed a law in January that prevents men of fighting age from leaving the country for more than 3 months without official approval. The provision is part of an updated military service law and went largely unnoticed until a local newspaper reported it last Friday. A spokesman from Germany's defense ministry attempted to quell fears about the provision in an emailed statement saying, quote, in the case of emergency, we must know who may be residing abroad for an extended period, he said. Military service in Germany remains voluntary at present. But of course, they only wanted to prevent military-aged men from fleeing. And they're like, well, we just need to know where our people are, just not the women or old men or children, because they can't be conscripted to fight a war of choice to finally put the last nail in the coffin of the white race as we send them to war once again against each other, this time for the last time. And so, do you expect to see some scenes similar to what we've seen out of Ukraine in Germany in the next few years as Germany and the rest of NATO gets involved in the wider conflict between Russia, Iran, China, and the Western bloc? Will we see German conscription officers going around and kidnapping men off the street, hauling them away, and sending them to die on the front lines while the powerful and elite rob the country blind and fill the positions of the kidnapped men with Africans and Middle Easterners because they're easier to control? Or will Europe fight back and prevent the third and final world war in the series of world wars whose entire purpose from the beginning was the eradication or subjugation of the European people? I wonder. Very dangerous times that we're entering into. And again, nothing is impossible. We've literally seen it in Ukraine. Over the weekend, there was a conscription officer actually stabbed to death in Ukraine because it's getting to the point. Of course, we've seen tons of videos of people trying to fight back, you know, just literally walking down the street when a van rolls up and some conscription guys come out and tell you you're going to the front line, and the men fight with everything they've got and their wives come in and get involved. Eventually, they get hauled away to the van and sent to die in this just senseless, pointless, utterly evil war. So you'll see it in Germany. I mean, you see it in Ukraine, you'll see it in Germany if you don't step up to stop it. But in Ukraine, it's accelerating, and now people are literally fighting to the death. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I mean, they institute the draft. All they're doing is saying, look, you either fight us or you fight for us and die against, you know, your enemies that aren't even really your enemies. So in that case, it's like, yeah, I'd rather wage a personal war against the draft board than go wage a war for the evil scum that runs my country against some other brutally conscripted slave on the other side. I mean, that's ridiculous. No, I'd rather fight for myself. Thank you very much. And I don't know if Europeans will share that sentiment, but certainly in America, I think that's the way a lot of us would feel. A lot of us are kind of waiting for it. We'll get back to that in just a second. Meanwhile, millions of Americans drink water contaminated with microplastics and drugs. The EPA signals it may finally act now. For the first time in its history, the U.S. EPA is considering adding microplastics and pharmaceuticals to the agency's official list of drinking water contaminants. The EPA's contaminant candidate list identifies contaminants in drinking water that aren't registered under the Safe Drinking Water Act. The agency is publishing a draft in its sixth and most recent version of the list, which is published every 5 years. The draft will be open for public comment in 60 days. The move to put those contaminants, along with the microbes and 75 other chemicals, including PFAS, could lead to more funding, more federal funding for research into their prevalence in the environment and their health effects, and to the new regulatory standards, according to the EPA. Well, you're welcome to study all that all you want. The fact is, there's chemicals in the waters that's making the frogs and the people gay, and it should be stopped. And now that probably to the point that it can't be stopped, that we are thoroughly and totally saturated with these chemicals, now they'll come out and pretend that they care. Thank you, guys. Thank you for pretending to do something just after it would have been nice for you to do it. NATO Secretary General to meet with POTUS and attend a 2026 Bilderberg meeting in Washington, D.C. next week. With President Donald Trump repeatedly bashing NATO in recent weeks and threatening to remove America from the group, NATO Secretary Mark Rutte is planning a visit to D.C. this week, where he will meet with POTUS and attend other events. After talking with the president on Wednesday, Rutte will speak at an event hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute on Thursday and the 2026 Bilderberg meeting from Friday to Sunday. And once again, I just encourage you, if you are new to any of this, just go back and search what the BBC and others were saying about the Bilderberg meeting in like the late 90s. They literally claimed it didn't exist and that you were a bad person, probably an anti-Semite, certainly a conspiracy theorist if you thought such a thing ever could happen. And this is just one of innumerable instances where the first response is the accurate one. The first response, when you're told that a bunch of billionaires, world leaders, kings, queens, princes, princesses, heads of banks, entertainment moguls, when they all get together to plot in secret, plan the world events for the next year, that sounds crazy. And if your first response is like, that's insane, and if that was true, we'd have to do something about it, and it would be an outrage, and people wouldn't stand for it. And it's like, yeah, that's the right response. Of course, the reaction from the mainstream media is to say, that's not true. How could it be true? If it was true, that would be insane. But then you sort of go, well, all right, so they do meet, but it's not like anything crazy. And like, okay, so they are planning world events. They are sort of plotting the course of their cabal for the next year, but that's fine, but that's good, and you're bad for questioning it now. So this is just a constant in our line of work. The good news is that InfoWars is firmly rooted, founded, cemented in foundational principles of this country. That means that while the ever-shifting vicissitudes of modern life in America can completely and totally alter the world around us, we remain unchanged. And it's fascinating, completely fascinating, because we've gone back. We have reverted to like late 90s, early 2000s, when once again, InfoWars are the conservative America First patriots saying this war overseas in the Middle East is wrong. It's not beneficial to us. It's not predicated on anything real. It's being waged by our enemies to weaken us. And once again, we have the neocon conservative pro-war, dumbass New World Order telling us we're un-American, telling us we're actually Islamic or something. And it's just like, oh, so we're back. So we're back to George W. Bush. We really have gone full circle. And now we're being called the same names we were called back then. And this is a process that InfoWars has gone through. And frankly, it is kind of funny when you really look at it. Because we, again, have principles, have beliefs, have, you know, pretty rock solid foundation in the things we believe and the reason we believe them. And that really hasn't changed much at all. Yeah, there's Alex Jones saying what you voted for versus what you got with Donald Trump and then George W. Bush with the Trump haircut. It's absolutely true and absolutely infuriating and upsetting. But like, how many times have we been told that we've sold out, or it's just embarrassing. It really is. It really is embarrassing what Trump is going through right now. What he's putting the world through. It's all embarrassing. But I was trying to think, like, you know, InfoWars starts out, you know, totally pure, having these ideas about the coming technocracy, about the invasion of surveillance, about the way that the terrorist fear mongering would lead to the destruction of our Bill of Rights and the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. And, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s, we were called communists. We were called far leftists because we opposed things like the Patriot Act, because we understood the lies that got us in to the war in Iraq. We were called, you know, you're not with us, you're against us thing, right? You're not in favor of us destroying our empire and wasting lives and billions of dollars to kill a bunch of people who were our allies 10 years ago. Then you must be a secret Muslim agent. It's just like, okay, dude, sure. You're the ones who are the patriots. It's just every decision you make just so happens to leave America weakened and vulnerable. Gee, what a coincidence. But then, you know, it goes through the ringer, right? Then Trump comes along, is saying the same things that we've been saying the whole time. It's actually on the debate stage, on the first debate, pointing directly to the other Bush. Can't even think of his name right now. Jeb, that's his name. Jeb Bush. And saying, you know, your brother lied, got us into this war. There were no weapons of mass destruction. And it was like, okay, hallelujah, this is it. We got a guy who's a Republican that gets it. Because, again, this is the same dichotomy we're dealing with today we were dealing with back then, where it was like, okay, you're either on the side of the warmongering psychopath morons who, you know, want... Oh, look, he didn't get Greenland. You notice that? You're either on their side, or you're a leftist, you know, whatever. You're a far-left communist. We were stuck in that dichotomy, too. So finally, Trump shows up, and it's like a conservative, pro-America, patriot, wants to shut the border, and understands that the wars in the Middle East are retarded. Like, this is great. This is it. This is the guy. And so then we're told, you know, first it's like, oh, you're communist. You're un-American for not supporting the war in Iraq. And then it's like, you've sold out because you support the, you know, presidential candidate that believes the same things you do. You've sold out. Now you're all Trump sicko fans. And then it's like, oh, but you were sued for Sandy Hook, and so now you sold out because of your bankruptcy, and that's why you're not going against Trump, but now you're in favor of Elon Musk buying X. You've sold out to Elon Musk. Oh, now you're going against Trump, and you've sold out to the... And it's just like, how about we've just literally had the same position the entire time? And no matter who's in charge, no matter who's operating, we look at the facts, we look at the actual reality, we make our choices, our analysis, and our decisions based on that, always and forever, filtering it through the filter of, is this good for the American people, the American nation, and the world at large? It's not actually that complicated. So you can claim these bizarre or ulterior motives that you just pull out of your butt. So I can't even figure out where you come up with this crap. The boomers especially put out a video actually about this on X today. The selective application of the ability to determine ulterior motive, right? Where it's like, I get if you are looking at a literal Muslim person that's like an immigrant to this country, and they like are clearly operating from a position of Islam is their priority. They don't actually care that much about America, but really want Israel to succeed. And, you know, you see them talking about like, well, we shouldn't go to war with Iran because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, are you saying this because it's best for America, or are you saying it because you're motivated by some sort of loyalty to the Ummah, right? Loyalty to the, you know, Muslim brotherhood you feel with other people, not Muslim brotherhood, the political entity. But I can kind of understand. Now, really, what the question is what they're saying true? And if it is, great. If it's not, okay, now you kind of look for ulterior motives. Why would they be lying like this? I don't know what I can tell you. There's nobody more American than me. It's physically and literally impossible, okay? It's like actually, like technically, it's not possible. Unless you are a direct descendant of Christopher Columbus himself. You can't get more American than the Mayflower, right? You can't get more Texan than the old 300. We do literally the first people, all right? I'm directly descended from them. My family's been here since the 1700s. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have any other reason for there to be divided loyalty. Who would I be loyal to other than America? What are you talking about? I'm a Christian. I'm a Protestant. I'm not loyal to the Vatican. I'm not loyal to the Catholics and all the international machinations they get up to. I'm loyal to the Episcopalian Church. This is the Church of England. Well, the Anglican Church now, because the Episcopalian Church and the Church of England has gone off the rails, unfortunately. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm a Mayflower American, 8th generation Texan. What else did I say? I forgot already. And you've got people who will accuse me of being a Muslim operative or of being a leftist in disguise. Person who's worked at InfoWars for 10 years and was like, literally, I've posted, search on my ex about an essay I wrote because I was going through, my mom brought a big box up of stuff from our attic. And in it is essays I'd written as a junior in high school about how illegal immigration was killing our country and we have to find a better solution to get these people out of here. Like, me, you think I was writing essays in high school as part of my long-term undercover operation to pretend to be a conservative until this moment when I could betray America for the sake of Qatar or Iran or whoever the hell else you think I'm? It's insane. But the reason it's so insane, the real reason I'm getting into all this, not just about saying, like, I'm more American than you, which I am, but that's not the point. The point is, these people will see somebody like Ben Shapiro or Mark Levin or Randy Fine, and it's like they can't even fathom, they won't even approach, they can't even just as a you know, exercise, as a rhetorical practice, let's just pretend that this guy might have some ulterior motives, and they're just like, how dare you? How dare you blemish patriot Mark Levin's, you know, utterly perfect record of American nationalism. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? You literally believe Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin are more loyal to America than me? You're insane. Okay? This is what I mean. Part of me sits there and goes, maybe they're just gullible. Maybe they're just dumb. Maybe they just, if you just say that you're for America, they just believe you. But that's obviously not true, because when it comes to any sort of Muslim person or anybody like me who might occasionally say stuff that is just true about the war in Iran, just is. And it's immediately not only like that I am a leftist, I actually hate America, I actually hate Jews the most, and I've been tricked by the Muslims, and it's just like, what the hell are we talking about here? The easiest interpretation would be like, well, look, this guy's a Jewish supremacist, he's a Israeli first, it's literally all he talks about all of the time, they wear a Israeli flag pin. Hell, you've got people like Brian Mast in the United States Congress wearing an IDF uniform, big Star of David flag on his wall, no American flag to be found. And they can't possibly concede, they can't even give credence to the idea that maybe, just maybe, that guy doesn't have America's best interests in mind. Meanwhile, when he's literally just like, America must go to war for us, I mean for Israel, you know, and it's like, and they just can't see it. They just can't see the ulterior motive there. So you think, like, maybe they're just idiots. Maybe they're just gullible. Maybe they just don't see what's going on here. Then you've got a guy like me being like, hey, you know, Iran actually can still launch missiles. Their missile ability has not been degraded to the degree that Trump says it was. And they're just like, oh, so you are a secret Muslim. I get it now. You're a secret Muslim that wants to kill all the Jews, and you hate America and want to see us destroyed. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? Honestly, what is going on in their brains? How have they gotten this brainwashed? It genuinely is insane and stopping us from actually solving any problems, because you can't express the truth with these people. They're too far gone. And that's unfortunate, because it's those types of people that are surrounding Trump and forcing all of this. So we'll go to one of these videos of Trump explaining what's going on here. And in fact, let's go to clip 35 here. This is Trump asking why he's engaged in the terrorist bombing of civilian infrastructure when it has no strategic value whatsoever. Let's see what he says.
Mr. President, how would it not be a war crime to strike Iran's bridges and power plants?
Because they killed 45,000 people in the last month, more than that. It could be as much as 60. They kill protesters. They're animals. And we have to stop them, and we can't let them have a nuclear weapon. Very simple. They want a nuclear weapon. They've been trying for a long time. I stopped them with the Obama horrible Iran nuclear deal. I stopped them in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, literally everything he says is backwards. I mean, again, it just makes no sense. And I mean, maybe the most amazing, add it to the list, I guess, but between 40 beheaded babies in ovens during October 7th to 45, hell, let's go with 60,000 protesters murdered by their government. It's like they have done nothing to try to prove this. It's just something they said. Again, like this is as if. And it's probably still the case. This is if you ask, you know, as if they're still going, hey, we had to go to war with Iraq. They had babies in incubators. It's like, at least they put on the show for that. At least they had the girl go to the UN and give the tearful account of, oh my God, babies in incubators. They're pulling them out and throwing them on the ground. Kuwait, we have to go to war with Iraq. Like, at least they put the effort in. In this case, they literally just, the day before the assault, went, hey, let's just say they killed 30,000 of their own people and that's why we're doing this. Like, okay, let's do that. If you believe that has anything to do with anything or that it even happened in the first place, is complete madness and retardation, especially when you understand that at this point, it's been admitted by Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, the New York Times, and absolutely everybody that the so-called protests themselves were in fact manufactured by Mossad to overthrow the Iranian government. What the hell are we talking about? You tried to stage a coup in Iran. They killed 3,000 of your enemy agents trying to start a revolution. You multiplied that by 10 or 12 or whatever you want. Now that's the official number and it's unquestionable. And that's why we went to war with Iran, even though it never happened and the war preparations were in place for years before that ever happened. Please, for the love of God, can we wake up? They wouldn't be able to say these lies if people didn't believe them. People didn't go along with them or just pretend to believe them because it's advantageous, which I think is the case with a lot of boomers out there. Well, I want to go to war with Iran, and this is the lie I got to tell to get us there. Then it's a good lie. Very Israeli way of thinking. We'll be right back.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this hazard put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhillstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexhillstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexhillstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexhillstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.